There he is. There they both are.
Chief Boss.
Brett. Paul.
What's up, Grant?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the third.
Big four, guy.
See, I already am losing it. The big four.
You want me to run this shit? You want me to take this over, guy? Or what's going on?
I do need somebody to interview me.
What's going on?
So, but ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the fourth episode of the infamous podcast. Hashtag I'm with Bozo. I am your host. My name is Grant Fussell. Alongside me today, I have another fellow champion of the bunch. Another longtime good friend. We grew up together, traveled basketball, going to AIM High all the time. My boy, Brett Gaudreau, accompanied by the GM and the head coach, Paul Shea. Boys,
welcome. BB.
You know what? I got a little more respect than that. I'm not on that first name basis with him like you guys are.
Look at that. I like
it. But I appreciate you guys taking some time out and joining me this evening.
Absolutely. It's good to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good. How was your guys' day today? Good old Wednesday.
Busy day. But yeah, you know what? We're here. Farming. You know, P. Shea and I, we've been busy. It's always work, you know, 24/7.
On the phone making deals. Now, was anybody in touch with you today about making some deals? Obviously, we saw some deals go down with EZ today. Did he reach out to you about anything?
I didn't get anything personally, but I'll let P. Shea, you know, is the one that's kind of GMing the team.
Yep.
I'll let him quarterback this a little. I don't know if we got reached out to or not.
Yeah, no one reached out to us, but we're always open to people, you know.
Okay. Very nice. Must be a sign. I don't know. Must be a sign.
Yeah. No, I think our team's pretty solid. It's only week four now coming up. So,
yep.
But we'll get to that, though. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that very much so. Sounds good. Brett, back in the day, man, you were fucking Fast and Furious. You still racing some Grand Prix or what?
Yeah, that's 20 years ago. Long gone, man. Hey, it's only company vehicles now. You don't buy cars nowadays, right? They get provided.
Nope. They pay for it. I just drive it.
Exactly. Especially with this Biden gas. Youch.
Oh, my gosh. It's so wild. It's like the only thing I ever paid attention to in the presidency was, like, the economy. And, like, that's the only thing I've noticed that's been way different. Because that's the only thing I noticed. The
economy was bumping when Trump was here, but that's okay.
Yep. That's neither here nor there.
Yeah, exactly. Podcast. Scratch the podcast. Let's get to the football.
Well, no, not to the football yet because, I mean, I know you've been dating Koopa for what, like 14 years? You guys getting married yet or what?
Hey, life's good. You know what I mean? We're happy. We're living it.
Okay.
Wherever the chips fall, they lie, you know? But yep, we're happy. All right. We're good.
I feel you, my sister. So my sister's the same way. Her and her boyfriend have been together for like 14, 15 years. They call themselves life partners, baby, and they just make it work, dude. They, you know, they got everything that they need to do. They're living their life the way that they want to, and it fits perfect with each other, and it's fucking great.
Absolutely. So that's cool to hear.
Obviously no babies, no kids, nothing new on the way.
Nope. No surprises, aspect. No announcements, no surprise. Just living, guy. Just living.
I feel you, bro. I gotta check in with you. I gotta, you know, make sure. Take care of what you need to take care of. Paul, what about you, man? You single? You married? You got baby mama drama? What's going on?
Oh, single. Hitting up all the MILFs, you know. I'm a big MILF guy. That's what everyone needs to know. That's a fun fact from P. Shea.
If you don't know P. Shea, now you do, ladies and gentlemen.
So watch out, MILFs.
I like it. Sounds good. Paul, what do you do for work in your everyday life?
I'm a project engineer, a.k.a. Nick Sarkisian, Cuddy Sark's boss.
Oh boy, Cuddy Sark.
Yeah. Okay. If you know him, yeah, I'm his boss. I kind of tell him what to do day in, day out.
It's got to be tough for him.
Yeah,
taking orders from a baby. All right,
I love it.
That's what's up. All right. Enough about, you know, our lives. Let's get down to what everybody wants to listen to, and that is the fantasy football. And first things first, you know, we're in the here and the now. we're going to go ahead and we're going to get a little bit of breakdown of your most recent matchup against Downed Wire, which I believe is Duncan.
It is Duncan.
So give me a little bit of your give me a little bit of your thoughts on just this is more towards Paul. The lineup setting this week and what went through your mind on who to start and who to sit.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a wax. We're going to just cream them. I mean, it's not even going to be close, probably 50 points. But I'm struggling with my running backs. They're coming in slow, but this week they're coming out with the bang. I feel it. But yeah, 50 points coming out with a W guaranteed.
So was that was your mindset going into last week's matchup, right? Cause that I'm talking about last week's matchup.
Oh, last week. Okay, yeah.
See, you're getting ahead of yourself already. See, growing pains over here. Slow your roll here, Paul.
I know you're new,
and I know it's early. We'll get to next week's matchup. I'm talking about what happened last week.
Last week was a struggle. Put Sterling Shepard in. He was hot first 2 weeks. Wasn't too hot week three.
I see the thinking behind it. I like it. He was very hot the first couple weeks.
And then my running backs, like I said, they're struggling the first 3 weeks. I have a feeling that they're coming in with the bang week four, but week three, it wasn't too hot. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he has a fumbling problem. He's got to stop eating that popcorn before the game, so we'll fix that.
Well, you got to stop allowing it in the locker room, bro. You got to get that popcorn machine out of there.
Yeah.
That's for T.O. only.
I'll call him up. Yep.
Yeah, we on that, guy. We on that.
Yeah, right? Okay, locker room. Locker room entertainment needs to be taken down a notch, too.
That's right.
But overall, though, you bring up Clyde Edwards-Helaire having a fumbling problem. He still had 100 yards rushing and got you almost 17 points, which is obviously clearly better than what your boy Chubb did. But you have your team name based off Nick Chubb. He's obviously been – one of the bright spots in your lineup, just not last week, correct? I mean, obviously.
Correct, yeah. I follow the Brownies. Big Brownies fan. Kareem Hunt came in big. But Nick Chubb's going to bounce back, though. Kareem Hunt will never have that week ever again.
I like to hear it. I like to hear the confidence in your – I mean, one of your top picks, right? Well, I guess we'll get to that about being keepers and everything.
Grant, let's hit the history, though. Let's hit the history a little of, you know, where we got Paul Shea come from, how we started.
Okay,
here.
Brett, you got to let me lead up to that. You got to let me do that. I have some content for where Paul Shea came from.
Okay.
I'm excited. That's one of the main things I want to talk about. We're going to spend kind of a lot of time on that, on the whole how we're up to this point here, given what's gone on in the past with your regimes. I do like your style, though. It's funny. You're the only guy in the league that does this.
We got to make them work for you, Grant.
I mean,
I can't do all the work myself, right? We're managing a lot of teams, though. That's what I don't think you guys understand, right? I mean, this is like an organization
here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, this ain't just a one league pony show here. You know, we're running multiple leagues. PJ over here. What do you got? 6-7 leagues that you got to manage underneath the organization?
I think I'm in 8 right now. Yeah, year I'm in 8. Yeah, coming off of 10 leagues last year, I kind of slowed my roll. I was getting a little too busy during the week. Got a full-time job, right? I had to take care of business, but that's my side job. Ron Selly, that's my side job, these leagues. Big money. A lot of people in your friends group gamble, poker, blackjack. Mine's fantasy football, so.
Okay, I like it.
We stay busy, you know what I mean? And he's still new to the organization. We brought him in, and he's working his way up. We got to let him, you know, fly out there and see what he does.
Spread his wings and see what can happen.
Exactly.
Well, so far you're 1-2, so.
Yeah, but we got to look back, though, right? Because you got to look at what he took over. Like last year, the GM that we had, I know we'll get into this a little bit more, right? Like you said. We'll get into it, but you know he didn't have the best hand dealt to him, right? So you can't beat him up too hard.
At least in the first few weeks, you can't beat him up too hard. That's once true. It gets to be about week you get to be about week 7 or 8, and if you're like 1-6, 1-7, given
that's when you start worrying.
Given your history on, I guess you would call it the short leash you got, he would have to be a little upset if he doesn't win the next few matchups here coming up. Hey. Or I shouldn't say upset. I should say a little sweating.
Yeah, but we got a strategy. I mean, you know, Corey's motto in the podcast was, if you're not first, you're last, right? But you look back at the history here, every first-place league finisher has always lost at the end. We're not going for first. It's strategy. We're positioning ourselves correctly. Let people forget about us. Snipe them at the end. So we just got to let it play out, see where we go.
I'm digging the strategy. I like it. I mean, it's not one that's often looked at as something smart, but it can be smart if you play your cards right and everything happens.
Hey, my name's on the trophy. My name's on the trophy. Not everybody can say that, right?
I agree 100%. One of those people that can is you're looking at them.
Hey, maybe next year, Brett, for you.
You might have one trophy in here, but in my other leagues, I got like 5 trophies. So, I said, it's an organization that we run. So,
once again, we don't care about anything other than hashtag I'm a bozo. So,
I'm just bringing that trophy.
I bring that up for
hashtag bozo.
It's brought to my attention that we can't be talking about other leagues. Because in our league, I have Nick Chubb. But we won't get talking to that because I would start talking about it. But, so, finishing up the recap of the matchup here, you just caught him on a good week, I guess. I mean, it's not that, like, I don't know, your guys didn't play that bad, but you only did have 109 points. So, it's like some of your guys definitely underachieved. So, like, if you're looking back, who would you have switched if you could have switched anybody that started? Who would you have started and why?
So can we go back to, you know, it all starts with the keepers, right? In the beginning of the season, right? I'm not sure if everybody knows, but J.K. Dobbins obviously went down. That was a big hurt for me, you know. That was a steal keeper for me.
Agreed. I agree.
So now I'm pretty much scrambling. If you look back, Matt Ryan was my other keeper. You guys might be laughing, giggling, whatever. But if you look back at the draft, there was pretty much no one else. If I didn't have that keeper, I would probably be picking Matt Ryan round 5-ish or later. But there was no other quarterback at that time. So,
which is surprisingly odd to me because this league is, even though you can start two, they seem to not draft them until about those rounds. So I can get the thinking of waiting to draft him, or like, I guess the value of keeping him, I guess. Yeah. Do you still think Matt Ryan is an elite quarterback? Did you ever think Matt Ryan was an elite quarterback?
It's early in the season to tell. I think he's elite for sure.
I don't mean this season. I just mean his whole tenure as him as a quarterback.
Oh, he's up there for a quarterback too. For our league? Oh, yeah.
QB2 for our league? Yeah, I can agree with that for sure. He's very serviceable, as we like to say. All right, so I guess that led me into you brought up the keepers. So knowing your keepers, Paul, this is a little more towards you. Brett, you were there. How much, I guess, your guys' draft strategy – this year, just with what you wanted to do with your keepers, and was there any Rams heads butting on draft day, or were we kind of gung-ho on everything?
Oh, no. I mean, hey, we're not micromanaging over here. You know, you got to let Paul make his moves, got to see his own strategy, see how he goes from there. So, no, it was pretty much up to Paul to lead the rein on that decision.
So, Paul, what was your strategy going forward with what your owner had put in place with you with your keepers?
So, for me, it was gut feeling only. Don't overthink it. I've overthink it multiple times before. Coming in here, can't overthink draft day. Start drafting. I felt pretty good after drafting all my guys. And moving forward, I still feel solid about the guys I got. So, we'll see if they come out with a bang like Julio Jones. Starting off pretty rough, I will admit that. He's an elite wide receiver still. So just watch out for him.
Okay. Duly noted. So given your draft spot, you had seventh pick. It's basically, I mean, it's almost in the middle. So, like, were you thinking you needed to go, like, running back heavy early? Because obviously Chubb was your first pick, and then you needed to draft a running back again because, like, of the way we do it? Or, like, what, like, who did you ideally want with your first pick being right in the middle? Being it was a second-round pick.
For a first-round pick, I was going running back.
Oh, you didn't – so who'd you keep? Oh, yeah. All right, here it is right here. You kept – oh, okay. Okay, okay.
I was able to draft the first
– So you were totally going running back heavy because you kept Dobbins in the ninth, and then you had the seventh pick in the first round, and Chubb slid to you.
Correct.
Aha, I like it.
Yep.
But then why did you take Clyde Edwards-Helaire with your second pick as a running back as well when you already had two fat boys?
Got to have that backup, elite backup running back. Wasn't sure how J.K. Dobbins was going to do. It's called a sophomore slump. You never know what's going to happen with sophomores in the NFL. So had to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I guess he's a sophomore, I think, too. But I don't know. I was going running back heavy first two rounds automatically. That's what I came into the draft day for. So I gut feeling.
But, hey, you nailed that prediction, right? I mean, look how it played out.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I'm good, right? Good thing you did that. Yeah, definitely. So, well, I like it. I do see, it's funny, your team has a few ex-champions on it from last year. My boy Kirk Cousins and my boy Adam Thielen. What were the thinking behind taking both of them?
Wanted a good duo together, quarterback, wide receiver, duo.
Basically my thinking when I had them last year. Because I think when I took him, I kept my second keeper. So it was like my, I think, I don't know if he was my first round pick. I can't remember if I did it 2 years in a row, but I kept Thielen and Kyler Murray, and then I drafted all the rest, and it turned out to work out. So you got some limelight there. Minnesota's, they've been all right. I mean, Thielen's been good. Obviously, they've been having to throw. They've been down, but. That NFC North is so weak. They have a shot, but we'll see how it goes. So, looking at how things – you're obviously very high in your draft. Have you guys had – given the 3 weeks you've had, have you been – this is more of a question, I guess, for Brett. Have you – been let down or not as, I guess, excited about the results that you once thought you were going to get?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're starting a little bit weak, but we predicted that, right? I mean, last year going into that, you know, we didn't have the best GM manager running the team. It kind of drove us down a little bit. And also there's a trickle effect, right? And I want to get into this conversation of the bozo that's running this league that put us in this situation, because some of the mid-rule changes halfway through the season screwed up what we were looking for in the future. You know, when we're drafting these teams, we're looking 2-3 years in the future. But when you got people changing the rules halfway through the season, it flips the whole game, right?
Flips, I mean, the whole game.
100%. Exactly. We had certain strategies. So the last GM had to clean up the mistakes from a bozo commish, and then, you know, we had to get him out the door, and now we threw in Paul Shade 3 days before we start drafting. He's putting the pieces together. So I know a lot of everybody's looking at this like, yeah, it's a rough start. I'm not going to lie. But we predicted that, you know, when we were building the team back up and we're going to get it to where we need to be to start winning trophies again. I mean, we know how to do it, obviously, right? Our name's on there. You don't see a Gordon name on there. You know what I mean? But we know what we're doing. So we get it. And that's a conversation, though. We need to talk on this podcast.
I mean, we can go into how that went. I was going to bring it up in a little bit because I wanted to talk a little bit more about, like, you know, what's going on. But that, I mean, that leads me right into the hottest take that I had for you the whole time is you were talking about having your name on the trophy, right? You got your name, Brett, your name is on this trophy.
You're damn right.
Under what team name? That's a book of Ely. Okay. Absolutely. The book of Ely. My boy of the electric one, that for those that know him, took you to the promised land of what everybody in this league thrives to get to. And he did that in 1 year.
Absolutely.
Why'd you let him go?
My man wasn't let go. The hottest
take ever. You let him go. Literally, it was the next season, wasn't it?
No. I'm building superstars. Okay? This guy's going, listen, he won here. He built his bankroll up. We sponsored him. And now he's moving on to, a wrestling career. I can't blame the guy, right? He's moving up and better. We didn't let him go. He's promoted on in life. You know what I mean? So, hey, good for him. He had other opportunities. Now, we opened the doors for him. He wouldn't have had this without us. But with the Fantasy League, he gets trophies. He gets used to winning. You know what I mean?
He's like, oh, shit. Without us.
Yeah. He's like, shit, this is good. Guy, he's riding that wave to success. And he takes it off. I can't blame the guy, right? Hey, go make something of yourself. He'll be a superstar.
You offered him a second year contract option, and he declined, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of both. He talked to me.
You said, yeah, a little bit of both. That's the whole shimmy answer. Oh, yeah.
We offered to him.
Like you didn't want him back.
No, not at all. Not at all. With that career opportunity he had, I'm not going to hold him down.
Career opportunity, was it at the same time that you won the championship, or was that later in life?
No. Once he won – he got that little bit of success in him. He was feeling good, and boom, move on to
that next fantasy season. He didn't make the leap to be a pro wrestler yet.
Yeah, but that's what you knew. That's what you knew about Grant. You got to work your way up.
I've been to some matches. I already knew what was going on.
Him at the match, but there's a lot of work that goes into that before the match, right? It made sense.
I know.
I'll tell you. Ely was not let go. Okay.
That is what I needed to know. That is what I needed, and the fans of this podcast and the managers and owners in this league needed to know.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, good. Now, moving forward. Back in the day, Brett, this is also a question for back in the day. You said you're building on stuff. Oh, Koopa used to give you pre-draft rankings. Why did that stop?
She still does. You know what I mean? She still gives advice, but we've trusted it more into the person that we hire to bring on, because it's a little bit hard if you're starting to bring on a GM and you're telling them, hey, my girlfriend said this, or another person said this.
Is
she a
liaison to you, Paul?
Yeah.
Is Koopa a liaison to you at all?
I don't know who she is.
I don't even know who that is.
The GM, the coach of the team, doesn't know the owner's life partner?
You got to win trophies before that, right? You don't get to meet the family right away. We got a date first. You know what I mean?
You got to make sure everybody's
he ain't coming home right away. Come on, guy. What's up? Put a little work in there.
apparently he already has. He's got 10 different teams. He doesn't even know which one to focus on.
Exactly. Well, he knows. He knows the priorities.
Sounds like right in with hashtag I'm a bozo.
But speaking of that, I'm a bozo. Let's get on to the year of Eric Bozo switching the rules on us in the back.
Yeah, we can bring that back up right now for sure. I'm glad we touched base on that. Yeah,
because I want to get into that. I don't want to leave this podcast without getting into it.
Yeah, no, you definitely got your time to shine, baby.
So we're there, this is afterwards. We're deciding on the rules for next year. And Eric comes up that, hey, we're going to do this buy and sell players deal for draft picks the next year. Right away in my head, I'm like, bad idea. Like, that's a bad idea, But, hey, everybody votes it through. So it is what it is, right? It's voted through, and that's going to be elite. But I literally pulled Eric aside. I said, it's a bad idea. And he's like, why? He's like, you don't even know football. You don't know football. I'm like, it's a bad idea. So what's going to happen is there's going to be a point in the season when people start to realize not going to make it, right?
Yep.
There's no chance for them to make it. So you're going to
sell. For the future.
Exactly. So you're going to sell off your team. And then you're going to wait. And people are going to do this at the bottom. So every year you're going to have a point where six people are going to ride it out thinking they have a chance. And then six people are going to say, fuck this, sell my team and dash it. So pretty much if you continue to do that every year, you're just going to keep flip-flopping where only six people are essentially playing in a 12-person league. I hit that with them in the information right off the bat.
But Bozo. Those six people are only playing the last fucking 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So, like, that almost puts it in that – see, playing devil's advocate, because I do agree with you that we needed to get rid of the draft picks and it was dumb. But playing devil's advocate, like, that only has an impact on a quarter of the season at the end.
Right, false. Really.
For the
most part, you're right. But it can't. So this is what happened. So we rolled into that season. I knew my strategy right away, what I was going to do. And I tried warning Eric. You know, hey, I was the idiot. He wasn't going to listen. So
you were going to test out the waters, dude.
Yeah. So right off the bat, my strategy, no matter how I was going to start shipping off players right away. And then once I start that, right, it's going to set – the blood in the water for the Sharks, right? The Sharks are going to be like, oh, fuck, somebody's doing this. I need to do this too. So I start banging out trades right away for next year's picks. Right away. I hit three trades instantly.
Taking advantage of the rules. It's very
smart. Oh, yeah. I was banging out trades more than Corey bangs out hot dogs on the turn at golf. You know what I mean? They were out there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So we hit them right away out there. And then – you see everybody start to trickle and do it. And then what I was going to do is once people start, you know, blood's in the water, they start doing it. Then I was going to flip back by once people got desperate and was like, oh shit, I need to sell. And I was going to get players for cheaper then and buy it back and still have a chance that year and set me up for next year. My strategy was flawless and it would have worked perfect. I was the number one that started and go. But what happened? Eric flips out like a huge, you know, baby. The guy's rolls, he gives me a call. You know, he has this big ear energy coming at me. That's big ear energy. He's like, this can't happen, you know? And I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, I tried telling you this guy. Like, I know you can hear me. You can hear me from here, you know?
Yeah, you can hear me from 2 miles away.
Yeah, shit. And so then all of a sudden now I'm the bad guy. He's sitting in the chat like, oh, Brett's fucking my league and this is screwing the league. And I was like, I tried telling you last year. So then he changes the rules, which should never happen. By somebody that's running a thing. And that's why, hey, Bozo for commish, right? Changes the rules halfway, completely shits on my strategy, and leaves my team in scrambles, which is completely ridiculous, right? I mean, especially for a league that we're paying all this money into, shit like that shouldn't happen.
I agree. I mean, like I said before with you, I agree. And you bring up very valid points. So that's a whole trickle effect onto your team being – the way it is this year is because you were setting yourself up for something that you thought was going to be a thing moving forward forever. And then hashtag Bozo boy changes everything. So I totally understand it. I totally get it. I, for one, was lucky enough to not be wheeling and dealing and I just played my cards right. But other people were doing the same thing and it did propel them to like playoff runs. So like,
it was a valid strategy for the league, right? If you make the rules and people play off the rules, you can't blame them for that.
No, not 100%. You can't blame them. And even Rydog, like Rydog did it. And I think the next year, I don't know if it was this year, I think it was last year, he ended up drafting his whole team by like round 11.
Yeah.
Like that's super valuable because like you're getting people to fill your roster in those rounds where like, other people have to fill their rosters with guys that are behind them. You know what I mean? With the 14s, the 12s, the 13s, the 15s, those guys that majority of the time don't matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I agree that it needed to change. Like I was a fan of that and I tried warning against it in the beginning, but you can't change it halfway through the season. I mean, that's not the right time.
It was a good idea to try it out. And for the way we run the league, it obviously was also a good way to axe it. He just didn't go about axing it the way it should have been axed. We should have just waited till the end of the season and just done it that way. But that's all in the past now. And we're moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And that's why I said, hey, we're trying to rebuild, right? But that's the history, though. And it's hard to the shit on Paul because all that happened before him. And when it comes up and people are like, oh, why'd you keep Matt Ryan or why'd you do this? I mean, what were his options? You know what I mean? That's what sucks. It's like we got screwed by the commission of the league and then he gets dealt a shit sandwich and then the, you know, fingers get pointed at him. You know, I got to defend him a little.
Did you determine the keepers or him?
It was mostly Paul.
because you wanted him to build around what he felt most comfortable with building around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he verified it. He sent me texts. He's like, hey, I'm going to take these two. And I was like, you feel like text. That's best.
Well, you see him 2 days later?
Yeah. 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 See how it is.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I mean, he says
– so that kind of leads me right into something I wanted to talk to you both about. Like, does he – like, who has the ultimate saying, like, pickups, drops, like, who to start? Like, do you mainly leave that up to him and you just kind of sit back in the press box and let him put what the material on the field you want him to? Or, like, do you do the pickups and the drops and tell him to play what you give him?
No. He makes the decisions, but he texts me, you know, with what he's doing. You know, he gives me an update or he'll text me on trades like, hey, Blake sent this. What do you think of this? And then we'll kind of talk it over.
Blake sending trades? What he sent you?
Yeah. A little, it never worked out though, you know, but.
It never does for him. He's always lowballing.
I know. Yeah. He's a cheap son of a bitch. Oh yeah. Super cheap. 5,000.
Yep. He was texting me. I forgot. I'd have to look. I forgot what it was about, but I've had a little bit of trade talks today myself. Sarko hit me up. A couple guys interested in Dalvin Cook over here. I don't know why he's hurt. I don't know why you guys are interested in somebody who's hurt. But
trying to pick up those scraps, guys.
Hey, send them over, bro. I mean, you got Vikings. I know you like Vikings. They took me to the promised land last year.
We got enough of them. We're happy with ours right now.
Yeah, if you want Eli Mitchell, I'll give you Eli Mitchell for Dalvin Cook for
my,
sure.
My backup man, talk about better.
That. You just said he's hurt. What is a hurt player going to do for me, right? You know what I'm saying?
Valuable keeper, even though took him. So that's another thing I meant to. I guess I don't know. Maybe you guys might know, or I guess Brett might know because Paul, you're not really in the league. But like, if I were to trade Dalvin Cook and somebody keep him, would they have to keep him as their first round pick because I kept him as my first round pick last year?
Yeah,
he was my second year keeper.
Yeah, I think that's the rules. I think you got to do
that's
that.
What I would think too.
Yeah. I mean, who knows with Bozo, though? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you keep him. You keep him where you whatever guy you traded to him, you keep him where you got him at. Oh, you picked him up as a free agent. Oh, he's your last pick. Oops, I'm a Bozo. Literally, sounds like something he would do.
I know. My man can't even grow a beard, and we're supposed to trust him to be run the league. You know what I mean? What are we doing here? What are we doing?
The old peach fuzz. let's see here. So yeah, the talks between you guys are obviously pretty eye to eye on stuff.
Communication's good. Like, you're not gonna find some drama in there. You know, we're good. We got a lockdown. We're building up. Yeah, hey, not the best start, but you know, it's a long season.
I feel you. It is a very long season, and obviously you had a keeper that got injured. I was gonna bring up some key injuries this year of just. Maybe people you missed out on that were hurt, or obviously your keepers got hurt. One of your keepers got hurt. I mean, it kind of seems the injury bug besides that has been okay for you.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't complain. I mean, that one hit us right in the beginning, kind of sucked, but no, it's all right right now. But hey, week three though, like I said, long season, never know what can happen, but we're good. We got some people that, on the bench, we're looking, you know, some people are interested in some trades. It's going to be an interesting year. Don't count us out. You know what I mean?
This is hashtag I'm with Bozo, a.k.a. Detroit's own fantasy football league. Yeah, I know. It's always going to be a wild year. I was going to bring something up. So, obviously – this is resorting back to the draft. You took a rookie at your tight end spot in Kyle Pitts. And I just kind of Paul, did you have his eye? Did you have your eye on him the whole time? And where did you expect to draft him if you did have your eye on him the whole time?
I expected to draft him where I drafted him. Coming in the draft, I definitely had Kyle Pitts on my radar. On the cheat sheet that everyone prints out, definitely had that guy circled. He hasn't turned out to be what why I circled him, but
now is that because of Matty Ice, or is that why do you think that is? Is that because of Matty Ice? Because
I think he's still he's a rookie, like you said. He's trying to find his spot in an NFL team, and big week's coming ahead for the guy.
Well, with what you were saying earlier about Matty Ice being a top-notch quarterback in the NFL, wouldn't you think that he would be able to
quarterback two in this league?
Yeah, in this league. But you said a top-notch quarterback in the NFL. Don't you think he'd be able to coach this young rookie and get him to have that connection, I guess, with him? Because we obviously see tight ends in this league have great connections with their quarterbacks all the time.
Yeah, he's a rookie. 3 weeks in. I know he had training camp, but it's still early. It's still early, man. It's okay.
And they're coming off a COVID year. I guess I can give you a little bit of leeway.
Yeah.
Did you have anybody else on your radar at tight end to draft besides him?
Not really. I really did truly want Kyle Pitts.
Okay. Nice.
Kind of like a sleeper. He was kind of like my sleeper. I know every rookie, you're taking a shot at rookies. But I think he'll pan out at the end.
Perfect.
He's definitely sleeping right now, that's for sure.
He needs to wake up. He might be sleeping on your bench.
Yeah, I heard that.
All right. So we're moving right along here. I know this has been freshly implemented into the hashtag I'm Bozo podcast. For those of you that haven't followed yet, we're on Spotify and soon to be Apple Podcasts, but that's neither here nor there. I have where was it? The new thing, the lock of the week. So Corey, hashtag fingerslosh, was in here last week, and he started the lock of the week, which obviously we all know in the group text started from Blake's lock of the week, which is actually the opposite lock of the week. So we are going to implement that moving forward, that every guest gets a lock of the week for the betting side of everything. Once again, for everybody that's listening that's not in the United States or in Michigan, we are in Michigan, and betting on sports is legal, and we can do it here. So we implemented something into our podcast, and I would love to hear, Brett, well, you can go first because you're the owner. What is your lock of the week, college or NFL, via spread or money line? Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna go to NFL. And, you know, might get a little blowback on this.
Ooh, I like my man, hot take.
Yeah, hey, week one, my man blew up, right? Shit for his team. Everybody's like, oh, God. And I knew the following weeks he would be all right. But now I think it's back down to shit in the bed, and that's your boy Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to shit the bed. I'm taking the Steelers 6.5. Lock that in. Let's go.
I love that, dude. Lock that in. I'm a huge Steelers guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I usually I'm a cheesehead, but, hey, he's going through some stuff. He had to prove himself, you know, this previous week, but, hey, he's going back down.
I like it. I obviously like it because I'm also taking that same thing.
My man.
Big time lock from the owner. Now, Paul, what you got for me?
Yeah, we're going to go college.
Ooh.
We'll switch it up a little bit.
Makes sense from a youngin' like yourself.
We'll switch it up a little bit. The Ole Miss Alabama game, 1 versus 12. The spread's 12.5. I just don't understand that. I don't know if you guys heard of Matt Corral, Ole Miss's quarterback. They're definitely not losing. They're not losing. They're going. They're winning it. But the lock. Beat them by that.
Give me that again. My internet might have messed up. Give me the lock one more time.
Ole Miss, Alabama. We're going Ole Miss plus 14.5.
You're betting against Bama?
Ooh.
I'm a Buckeye fan. Can't stand Alabama. But that's a true lock right there.
Yikes.
True lock. Is it a true Blake lock or is it just a true lock?
That's a true P-Shay lock. So that's a win.
P-Shay lock. You heard it here first. Ladies and gentlemen, he's taking Ole Miss and the points. Absolutely. What you gotta do with that information, we're here still.
And spend your money at your own risk.
Yeah, literally, bet at your own risk if you don't know. Let's see. I think there's a what did they call that? If you need any help, there's a gambling hotline, 800-270-7117.
Hey, write that down, Eric. Write that down, Gordon Brothers. Write that down. Why did you
call that number? Hey, vital info. Who knows? Let's see here. And then there was one thing left, and it's everybody's favorite topic of discussion on the podcast. And leave it up to Bozo to mess it up first week to give me six people to finish in the top of the league. He couldn't figure it out, so he gave me six. I wanted the top five. He gave me six. Or he gave me – I wanted a top five. He gave me seven, so we made it a top six because he couldn't figure out who's six and seven were. He gave 1A and a 1B. Let me get this back pulled up here. But I'm going to – since we got a little bit of time left, I don't know if Paul is ready for this, but I'm going to do both. I'm going to do both of you guys' predictions, top six, finishing – the season, and then we'll do your both bottom three after that. I'm trying to get the spreadsheet pulled up here so I can update it. There we go. Predictions. Perfect. Brett, you're the owner. You're the big dog. You go first. Give me your top six, I guess. One, two.
Absolutely. I honestly, right off the bat, and I was going to guess this guy to do stellar out of the bat and finish strong. And sole prediction of my man got super drunk at the draft party. He was feeling himself. He was relaxed. He was having a blast. I was like, C-Raj is got to be knocking out of the park. That's the most relaxed I've ever seen him, right? And my man was good. And, of course, he starts out 3-0. So I'm a fan of C-Raj. I think he's going to do good. Rydog, obviously up there, has a stellar team. Duncan looks very strong. However, My pick for Duncan is he's going to finish mid-pack. He's going to be hoping for that sixth spot. So we're going to put Duncan at the sixth spot. I think he's going to fade off a little bit. Grant, I think you're just above him. I think you're shooting for five. And then obviously that's what you guys are shooting for. We're going to be sitting four, right? We're going to obviously be sitting four. That's right where we want to be.
You guys, you're saying your hot take is you guys are finishing in the fourth spot.
Come on. Absolutely. Absolutely. You'll be looking above, looking at us like, oh, hey, how do you get up there? Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's C-Raj 1, Rydog 2, us is 4, Downwire, Duncan, is 6, you're 5, and then four. Number 3, I got to pick number 3 pick.
Yeah.
Number 3, because we're going to be 4.
Yeah.
Number 3 pick. I got to go with Corey Carlson. I think he's going to finish strong. I like his team. I think he's had a couple rough weeks, some unlucky weeks. I think he's going to get up there and finish on that third spot.
I need one more.
I thought that was six. Are we doing six?
You got C-Raj, Rydog, Corey. Yeah, because of the Bozo boy, dude.
Yeah. No, I got you six. Yep. So number six C-Raj, is going to be Duncan. Rydog,
Corey, Brett, Duncan.
Yeah, you no. So
hey, I don't know how to count. I'm a bozo. Hey,
Duncan 6, you're 5. That's my prediction.
Okay,
bet. That's what I got it at.
Bet. Appreciate that. I hope my team can keep it up.
Yeah. Now, hey, do we get the guess who's last though? Bro, don't we get the guess that or no?
Bro, would this be hashtag I'm with Bozo? If you didn't get to pick the three biggest bozos you think are going to be in the league, duh.
I mean, it's Kevin. Kevin's little brother and Blake. I mean, that's your bottom three, bottom feeders.
KG, Igor, and Balake. All right. So, little recap here for Brett. We got Raj 1, Rydog 2, Corey 3, himself / Paul 4, me 5, and then Duncan 6. That gives Rydog another tally for top three. And that makes him 1, 2, 3 tallies for top three. Duncan has a tally for top three with C-Raj is up there twice. Looks like we're getting a lot of the same little things going on here. The losers are KG with 1-2, Brett with 1-2-3, Blake with 1-2-3. We got a tie for the biggest bozo of the bunch. And it's with you. That's crazy. All right, moving right along. Paul, give me your top Sixers, starting with – you can go from 6 to 1 if you want to do that. I like it more suspenseful that way.
So the problem is I don't know really anyone here, so we're just going to name off, real, you know.
Team names?
This is just
– you can go team name-wise, yeah.
Yeah, let's just – we'll just go off the rail. So, I think Ride Dog won.
The dog.
He's got a cute dog, too.
Go down wire, 2. Okay. We'll go hot tub time machine, 3.
/BB.
We'll go Eric's team, 4.
Easy money in the bank, cuz. Come holla.
We'll do Sark.
The old Cuddy Sark daddy. I think that's that's number 2 for Sarko, but he picked himself. So it's really number 1 for Sarko in the top.
And the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch. I'd have to let me go back to the Google.
That C-Raj guy.
C-Raj my guy. There we go. Talked to him recently. About to go golfing with him, I think, this weekend. That is C-Raj, my guy. That a boy. All right, Paulie, baby.
Dead last. I believe his name, Kevin Gordon.
KG in the kitchen.
Dead last.
So I haven't been, what do they call it? Numbering the losers. I guess I've just been saying them as people have been saying them, and I think majority of the time, they think the person they say first is the person they think that's going to get in last place.
Okay.
Which KG has 1, 2, 3 of those. So I don't know if they're going like, you know.
That's fine.
10, 11, 12, or, you know, whatever. It is what it is. So, yeah. Okay. Same shit.
Corey.
Oh.
And then Blake.
Corey in the bottom feeders. That is by far the hottest take so far. He has not had any mention of being shitty.
I love it.
Is that a personal take, or is that just you think his team's shit?
Yeah, I heard some things in the last podcast. So yeah, he's in that bottom 3. You know, we'll just keep it as that. You know.
Yep, I love it. Shots and fired, and I love it. That's what we're about at hashtag I'm Bozo. Bringing the heat to the seat. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That also brings me to my next point. Brett, how short is the leash with this guy? Is it as short as it's been with the other guys?
Whoa. No, he's good. We're going to see how it pans out, right?
Come on now.
This
hashtag on Bozo. You better be ready for the heat, kid.
Yeah. Dude, I'm roaming the fucking field still, guy. He hasn't even called me back to the house to put the leash on.
What if he goes 1-10?
Yeah, you know what that means.
Maybe the league. Then maybe, you know, give me some time.
Yeah, I mean, that's impossible. We got
3 weeks in. We're almost a quarter of the season done, and you've only got 1 win.
Like you said, wait until like week 6, 7, then maybe we can put the collar on. But dang,
you're 1-6. I mean, see you later. Bye.
6 other people are the same record as us, right? We're good. We ain't going for 1-2.
Okay, I like it.
You know, we're going in that defensiveness. Yeah, we're slipping in there at the bottom, and then all of a sudden, hey, what happened? Oh, another trophy. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's
what I did. I think I got in at like 5. I was 5 or 6 seed. Ended up making a run. Anything's possible. I love it. I love the optimism because, yeah, there's 5th place right now is 1-2, which is the same record as you guys. But he's also got 100 more points than you. Well, not, but.
Listen, points are points. All right. And we don't need them right now. We'll need them when we need those clutch victories, and that's when we'll get them.
So does that also leads me into one of the last things I want to talk about with Paul. So the waiver budget. Does Brett put a limit on what you can spend on a free agent or a waiver pickup based on how good he thinks they are or anything? I guess this is a question for both of you to answer.
Well, it's that auction, the money, $100 a season, whatever. That's a little new to me. So I had to communicate with Brett a little bit, and he said, go ahead and spend.
You already spent half of it.
I don't know what money does at the end of the season, a.k.a. it doesn't do anything. You can't take it home. So why not spend when you can spend?
So, Brett, leading right into that, spend when you can spend. Obviously, it's your money that he's spending. He's already spent half of it. He's only got $50 left. How do you feel about that?
Hey, it is what it is. You know, we're building right now. And
that is said, the lowest. It's not the lowest amount in the league. I'm sorry. Yeah, the second lowest amount in the league.
Yeah, somebody's sitting at 38. You know what I mean? Corey also has 59. I mean, you know, hey, you got to spend money to make money. You know what I mean? And we're spending it. All right.
I mean, so, do you though? Last year, I was the least amount of transactions done in the league, and I fucking shipped the Dottie Peps.
Hey, there you go. But I mean, like we said, our history that got us here. You know, we got to make aggressive moves. You know what I mean? Yeah, it is what it is.
I love the confidence. Last closing points here. Your ownership style has been criticized as one to be compared to Martha Ford of the Lions. How do you respond to those accusations?
I mean, it is what it is. You know what I mean? It's you always get hated on, and hey, we're making it work, right? We got trophies. You know, when we first started this league, you know, there's two trophies, right? There's trophy you get for winning the league, and there's a championship trophy. You know, when I won back in the day, I got both those trophies at my house. And then after a few years went by,
I didn't get like, that. Yeah.
See, Eric's like, shit, I can't win a trophy. So what do so I got to do? I got to keep this one here. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to show his buds. Like, hey, don't look too closely at those names, but hey, it's a trophy. You know what I mean? So
strangers that come over think it's his. That's why he keeps it.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. We got a trophy. We're coming for more. And, you know, criticize the management style how you want. But we'll be there at the end.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger here. I'm just relaying what the fans and the public and what everybody's been gossiping about. So I'm just trying to bring everything to light just to get a grips with everything and kind of figure out how you guys are running the ship over there. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys can do. Brett, obviously I like the style of how you run everything over there. It, you know, it's gotten, like you said, to the promised land once in the past. I do hope to see you in the playoffs this year because I would love to knock you out. Paul, Brett, I know it's been great this evening. I appreciate you guys taking time out joining me for this episode of Hashtag I'm Bozo. We do have one thing left to cover before we go. I don't know if this was a group decision or if Paul left it up to Brett because Brett makes all the decisions, even though we've kind of found out that's not even the case. I'm just kind of talking shit. Who do you guys want to bring into my seat next week to be on Hashtag I'm with Bozo?
You know, I thought about this one for a while, who'd be the right person. And I want somebody running on a high right now, somebody that has that energy, they're feeling good about themselves. Let's get a 3-0 guy in here next week. I want my boy the dog in here to give you a little podcast action when he's 3-0. I want a little cocky rye dog and see what he has to say.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely.
So a little inside note to what goes in behind the scenes of Hashtag I'm with Bozo. I do a prediction of my own of who I think people are going to bring on. I'm sad to say that I did not predict that Rye Dog was going to be the one that you brought on. I did think you were going to bring on C-Raj. I thought.
I almost went with him.
you're not the closest of buddies, but he's been doing really good. You talked about him tonight. I thought maybe my pre-draft, my pre-podcast ranking was you were going to bring C-Raj in because of the same reason why you said you were going to bring Ride Dog on, is he's riding that high. He's literally leading the league. I would love to hear him say what he's got to say, but I'm also very stoked to see what Ride Dog's got to say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. And, you know, C-Raj was going to be a close number two. But like I said, my prediction, C-Raj winning the league. I want him on here when he's 8-0.
I feel saying that. I love it. Paul, Brett, you guys got any last words to send the boys off with the cheers?
Piché, it's been fun. It's going to be a good year. Grant, thanks for doing the podcast. This is a lot of fun. This is cool. Best of luck for you. Appreciate it.
Brother, and, no problem.
It'll be good.
Thanks, Grant.
Paul, we'll see you guys soon.
We'll see ya. Yep.
Later, G.